When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I write columns for a living. That's my day job. It's always been my day job and my main job. I'm a writer, first and foremost. And the easiest, laziest thing you can do in that particular profession is to push for the team you're covering to go spend some money and go for it. Well, guess what? I'm going to do that today. But I'm going to try to be at least a little bit responsible about it. Good morning to you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into hockey and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Go get Brandon Ayuk. Go get Cortland Sutton. Go get Justin Jefferson. Do it all, Omar. Push all those chips to the middle of the table. You see what I mean? It's so easy. And you're never going to get anybody to disagree with you. Like, you're hearing me throw those names out and you're going, yeah, that's it. Yeah, go get. Oh, yeah. And that guy, too. Go get him, too. It's a little bit too convenient. So what I'll try to do instead here today is to underscore why Omar and Andy Weidel and Mike Tomlin need to be getting themselves a real live minimum value number two wide receiver, why it's quite possible, why it's not something that requires some pipe dream, and why this is the time to do it. And I'll start with the obvious. I don't know if George Pickens is a number one receiver. I know everybody wants him to be that. I know he wants him to be that. But I know that he hasn't gotten there yet, and I can't sit here and forecast that he will. I really, really liked his final month of the 2023 season. I like the fact that he and Mason Rudolph were able to hook up on different types of routes, as opposed to just, hey, George, here's a straight line. Run real hard and see if you can beat that guy to the football. We saw him do different things, and then we saw him do big things with those different things. But is he number one? I don't know. Do you want to count on Roman Taylor being your number two as a rookie? As a rookie. We can all point to his statistics at Michigan, his catch rate, which was remarkable. One drop, by the way, it was on his very first target of the college season. We can applaud his toughness. We can applaud the sharp cuts that he makes at the end of some of his longer range routes to really break open. We can get into all the film. What we can't do, what nobody can do, is gaze into some looking glass and say, hey, he's going to be able to do all this in the NFL right away. He's going to be the next Puka Nacua. We don't know that. And by the way, we don't know that any more than the Rams knew about Nacua. You have to see how it goes. Different players react to different settings. And man, when they stand tall, even in training camp settings, you can sense it. You can sense it. And maybe we'll be able to sense that with Taylor once he gets to Latrobe. But beyond that, you know, you're still looking at Calvin Austin as your third guy. You're still looking at a couple of number fours after that on the depth chart. The need remains exactly that, a need. It's not a want. It's not being greedy. There's a need for an impact wide receiver. And if you think about the way the Steelers are currently structured and the fact that Taylor, even though he did a lot of outside work in Michigan, and I'm sure he'd be used outside again, kind of the way Deontay Johnson was, it's probably going to be somebody on the outside, somebody who can make the bigger plays. All that said, the price can't be exorbitant. You can talk until you're blue in the face about how gutsy Omar has been and how aggressive he's been. But the real lesson to learn just from this past weekend is that Omar knows value and Omar knows patience to make sure that he protects that value. He said himself he was going nuts with the last couple of picks before Troy Faletanu and then before Zach Frazier. He was going nuts, and yet he wasn't moved to move up. That is not an executive who's going to get on the horn with the 49ers and give them a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Or if it does, it would be one whale of a departure from character. And look, here's all I really have to say on this subject. This is the time. This is when you do this. You have a quarterback who, even though he came off, you know, not the greatest year of his career in Denver, wasn't bad either, but, you know, was kind of in between. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been there. You don't have to wonder how he'd react if he ever got even near a Super Bowl. You've got now some significant offensive pedigree, especially as it relates to a running game. You've now got a defense that's got some pretty big names on it, but also some exciting, genuinely exciting young talent that can be infused into that. Now is the time. This is the year. And oh, by the way, the money is there. I had the Steelers at about $13 million in cap space going into the draft. Omar, on the eve of the draft, reached a restructuring with Alex Highsmith that added $7 million to that. So you got $20 million. And you really don't have a whole lot of other needs. The rest of them would be wants. So that doesn't mean you take your $20 million and you throw in your first round pick and you do whatever it takes. No, you be smart about it. But there are options. There are real live, really, really, really good wide receivers that seem to be available. Go get one. It's not an option. When we come back, J1Q.
This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar.
Today's J1Q comes from Todd, who says, "Hey, DK, you often mention your desire for an NFL minor league. But shouldn't we just turn major college football into that minor league, separate college football from NCAA amateurism, and let the conferences go back to normal for other sports?" Todd, I don't follow college football. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I don't have anything against it. It's that the moment this kind of stuff comes up, I lose interest almost immediately. I can't even begin to conceive of anyone getting gung-ho about this loose organization that doesn't even really declare a true champion, at least not per a real playoff that involves a real number of teams, and could conceivably leave out one that's undefeated. That's unbleeping defeated. When that happens, that's like it's 1965 all over again, and you're waiting to find out who the sports writers thought was the best team. It's the silliest thing that happens in sports anywhere on this planet. And I've never, and this goes back to childhood, never been able to take college football seriously. College basketball is different. That's fun, eh? A bunch of teams, stick them on a bracket. The men's and the women's brackets are now comparably popular. That's become doubly fun. Football, wow. No, just no. And then when you get into teams making their own schedules and waltzing in and out of conferences and then forming their own conferences and trying to steal money from, and this is the stuff that people end up talking about. On those unfortunate few occasions where I'll pop into a dialogue of some kind, whether it's on a, you know, let's say satellite radio or social media or something, that's the stuff they talk about.
Well, if I'm Florida State, I'm looking out for my own interests. What? That's not sports.
So that's the first part of my answer. The second part of my answer is if I was the NFL, I wouldn't come within a billion miles of this mess. No chance. Why? I'd find six or seven really smart people, put them in a room at NFL headquarters and say, hey, come up with an idea for us to start a minor league. Why would they then say, yes, but we should get the Big Ten conference and the school presidents and everybody else involved? Why? Just minor league football. Come up with 30 franchises, put them in 30 places like Tulsa, and just go with it. No need for any of the rest of that nonsense. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. We will have another one of these tomorrow.